So I'm super excited to talk to you today because you have this big cover story out on AZ FUD. Do you remember when you first heard the name AZ FUD?
It was around the time that she was named as Gatorade's National Player of the Year in 2019. And I was asked to do a write-up of this high schooler that was being surprised by Elena Deladon after chemistry class. And so I got to call her and talk to her for the very first time. She did not remember that, but I did. It sort of stuck with me.
That was ESPN writer Katie Barnes, who spent months profiling the best women's basketball prospect we've seen in decades. 18-year-old AZ FUD. The high schooler not only gets handed awards from pros after science class, her skills have blown away Steph Curry and Kobe Bryant and her fellow phenom and future UConn teammate, Paige Bueckers. As FUD picks up her basketball career, where her mom's left off. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, March 2nd. This is ESPN Daily. Hey, Katie, it's so good to have you on the podcast.
Hi, Pablo. Thanks for having me.
Katie Barnes is an award-winning journalist for ESPN and ESPNW, whose cover story on AZ FUD is up on ESPN.com. So, Katie, you're here today to talk about the number one women's high school basketball player in the entire country, AZ FUD. What kind of accolades earn you that distinction?
She has a resume that speaks for itself, including multiple gold medals for USA Basketball.
She's a shooter. She's a scorer. She's the best player in the country.
A couple of which she was actually the youngest on the team. She was playing up by a couple of years, even in USA Basketball, which is a step ahead of just your run-of-the-mill AAU.
What a future this young lady has in front of her.
She's the only sophomore to ever win Gatorade National Player of the Year for basketball. And, you know, she has just dominated in one of the hottest regions of women's basketball development, and that's the DMV.
Step back. Dump shot good.
You got an answer for that? I don't.
And so AZ is just truly one of the best prospects we've seen in a while.
The term generational prospect, it gets thrown around in sports. You use it deliberately, though. And I want to help show our listeners why exactly she deserves that level of acclaim. How has she made her mark on the basketball world?
It cannot be understated the amount to which AZ is plugged in to the greater basketball world. She was one of the first two girls to attend Stephen Curry's elite camp, along with Cameron Brink.
It was an awesome vibe to be able to, you know, have her on the radar and invite her and get to meet her in person and see her play. And she did not disappoint, obviously. So,
and she actually has been there twice. And she won the three-point contest the first time. And then she did it again while being injured. And, you know, for the three-point contest, she has the ball, and she's just surgically hitting shot after shot after shot.
It was like, you know, this girl's out here, like, dogging these guys, and it was pretty awesome to be in there and feel the energy.
Curry hands her the trophy, and it becomes clear that then she actually has to shoot against him. And she does not beat Stephen Curry. that's not really, you know, part of the Cinderella story, I suppose. But he did become one of her biggest fans, in that she wasn't intimidated to shoot against him. And actually, after she lost, like, wanted a rematch. You know, she's a big Washington Mystics fan. And she talked about going to a game against the Aces. She was sitting courtside, and Kelsey Plum, whose game AZ really admires, came over and said, "Hey, I love your game." This is a high school kid being talked to by a professional basketball player and being recognized in that way. To me, that just really spoke to the level of anticipation, of expectation, and of greatness, frankly, that AZ has already demonstrated at such a young age.
So this idea, Katie, that AZ can hang with pretty much anybody on the planet as a shooter, you interviewed this NBA trainer that I've heard of, Chris Brickley. And that guy has worked with people like Kevin Durant and Carmelo Anthony. So what does he say about training AZ FUD?
He was endlessly impressed.
I've never seen a girl shoot that good. Like, she was shooting better than a lot of NBA players shooting workouts. And I was just like, I was shocked that someone could shoot the ball that good at the high school level from NBA range. It was eye-opening. She made 256 threes in 18 minutes, NBA threes. So that was really good. That was one of the best I've seen.
I was floored. I did not know how to respond. That's not what I was expecting him to say. Brandon Payne, who is Steph Curry's trainer, mentions that, you know, she has a drive that rivals many of the NBA guys that he works out.
You know, a lot of the things that I have to teach some of the younger NBA players, she just kind of has innately in her understanding of her process.
AZ is really talented when it comes to just fundamental skills, putting the ball in the basket.
So we have this 18-year-old phenom who is ready to head to UConn, as so many 18-year-old women's basketball phenoms do. And she's going to try to add her name to that program and its storied history. But I want to go back in time here first. Where does her basketball journey begin? What's her basketball lineage like?
So it starts with her parents. Izzy's mom, Katie, was a really, really good player. In particular, in high school in Virginia, you know, she won a Gatorade Player of the Year for that state 2 years. She also is a Hall of Famer in the state of Virginia when it comes to her high school playing career. She went on to NC State to play for her freshman year and won ACC Rookie of the Year before transferring to Georgetown, where she had another just really great run, led the team in scoring, was really good. And then she was drafted in the fourth round by the Sacramento Monarchs in the WNBA draft in 2001 and was the first Georgetown player drafted into the WNBA.
So she was drafted to the WNBA, but then injury kept her from playing in the league. What about AZ's dad? What was his role in all of this?
AZ's dad, Tim, also is a bit of a towering basketball figure in her life. You know, he played at American and was among some of the top scorers there before he went and played overseas for a few seasons and then came back and got involved in coaching and skills development. And he and Katie have been coaching AZ since she could walk, pretty much. He's actually on the coaching staff at St. John's High School, where AZ is a senior.
Mm.
And what's funny is that AZ can even see it. You know, she stumbled on some old footage of her mom playing and immediately turns to Katie and says, "Mom, your shot is my shot." And actually, AZ wears her mom's number 35. So it's in everything that she is as a player, honestly.
But when AZ put her hands on a basketball, Katie, as a toddler, she was not a natural, and her mom was very quick to point this out in your piece.
"I thought she sucked. First time she caught the ball, she turned and just held it out. And the girl just took it and went the other way, and she was like, oh."
So how did AZ go from that to being seen as this top recruit as early as the sixth grade?
You know, Katie never gave up on her daughter, and eventually AZ came to really love basketball. She was always a little bit taller, so she always played up, and she was really formed by playing up with some older kids. And over time, you know, she got better and better and better. AZ's very close with Paige Beckers, who's a current freshman at UConn. And one of the things that Paige says is that AZ never gets tired of working out.
She's one of the most hardworking people I've ever been around in my life. She never gets tired of working out. Even if she does, she's going to do it anyway, because that's just the type of person she is.
It's a bit of a cliche to talk about an athlete's work ethic, but for AZ, it really does set her apart. She's willing to get up at 5 to go shoot, and then she'll have breakfast. She'll go to school, back when people were going to school. And then, you know, she'll go to rehab. She'll work on her knee. She'll do strength and conditioning. She'll do core workouts. She'll do ball handling, and then she'll shoot some more. And she really will fit all of that into one day. And she'll do that over and over and over again. And it's impossible to put in that much work and still suck.
So you mentioned Paige Beckers, who is possibly the freshman of the year in women's college basketball right now at UConn. And Paige and AZ are together playing in the USA basketball program, the under 18 program. They're playing in 3-on-3 nationals in Colorado Springs in April of 2019. What happens there?
So AZ has the ball in the wing.
I remember the person guarding me was really physical. AZ drove to the right and she was going hop to power.
It's a jump stop going up for a power layup. And as she is landing, her knee buckles and gives out, and she just falls flat on her back.
All I kept saying was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
At the time, Katie is on the sideline filming, and you can hear her mom just scream out. And, you know, the camera falls down and she starts running to AZ. Paige was actually not in at the time. They're playing against each other. And she runs on the court after Katie does, immediately to her best friend's side.
Like, it looked really bad when she was on the ground. She was in tears and she was really upset. And you could tell that she was in a lot of pain.
It was a harrowing moment for everyone in that gym. And so they get into their rental car. And at this point, it started to snow. And AZ is sitting in the back seat with her legs up across the whole seat, looking out the window at the snow and the mountains, and is trying to keep it together.
I'd never had a big injury before. I did really worry about, would I be able to be as good as I was before?
It's her first big injury, and she's very fearful about what it is. And what she keeps thinking about is the look in her mom's eyes and how much pain and fear she saw there. And Katie keeps thinking about how much pain and fear she saw looking back at her from her daughter. Because knee injuries is a thing in this family. Katie tore her ACL twice.
Seeing the pain in my mom's eyes because she's been through it, I could see like it just hurt her seeing that I had to go through it too.
And so all of this is sitting with them as they're trying to get to Denver, and there's snow and they're late. And it's just a bit of a really heartbreaking drive.
All right, coming up, AZ gets the report on her injury. And then she sets out on the long path back onto the court.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So AZ and her mom, they get to Denver and they get the MRI that they needed. And it confirms that it is an ACL tear and also an MCL tear. So what happens from here, Katie?
So they get on a plane to go home. And when they get back to Virginia, AZ's on crutches and Katie has already started plotting.
My conversation with her was, you know, your first day, like, you can feel bad, feel like crap, be upset, cry, throw things, you know, punch things, whatever you need to do for this first day. And then let's just get to attacking it. Like, it's not going to do anybody any good. It's not going to do you any good to wallow in this. It happened. You can't change it. Let's attack it.
And so because of her own experience with knee injuries, she decides that AZ is also going to go to Donald Shelbourne and get her knee fixed. And Shelbourne is located in Indianapolis. It's not 2 days later that they say, we can see you the next day.
We literally drove through the night. We made it in time to like stop at Panera, have some breakfast, kind of brush our teeth, and go. We went straight to the appointment.
And it all just starts the process of rehabilitation. Katie lays out a plan and is like, this is how we're going to do it. This is what we're going to do. And it starts a day-by-day routine leading from AZ getting her MCL cast to then getting surgery to then beginning her rehabilitation process in earnest.
So Katie, we're now a little more than half a year after AZ's surgery. She's been cleared for a couple months to return to actual basketball activities at this point, and that is huge. So she's ready to make a return for her high school, St. John's. What was the process of getting back onto the floor?
So it actually started the night before, you know, after a practice with St. John's on January 2nd, 2020, AZ goes up to her mom and asks her, you know, how am I going to know if I'm ready to play?
And I said, you'll just know.
And AZ just kind of rocks forward on her toes.
And she said, I'm ready to play. My heart was beating really fast when my coach said my name. He was like, AZ. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really going to the game. I'm really going to the game.
She's actually worried that she's going to get crossed up and end up on a highlight video.
But then once I got in and the play started, then I was all good. Like, I shot my first shot. I'm pretty sure I missed. But once that was gone, all the jitters were gone. I felt good to be back on the floor.
Fudd measuring, dribbles, and buries the three.
Oh my goodness, that's so deadly.
And so it was a pretty triumphant return for AZ.
In your piece, Katie, it's also important to note, you call AZ's injury here just the first of many losses in what ends up being this almost unfathomably difficult two-year stretch. A classmate of AZ's died from a school she used to attend. One of her biggest supporters died, this man named Bo, who worked at a gym where she practiced and used to come to all of her games. And then in January 2020, AZ was also very deeply impacted by the deaths of Kobe and Gigi Bryant. Tell me about her relationship with them.
Yeah, you know, and AZ's quick to mention that it was a budding relationship. It was a new relationship. She had met Kobe and Gigi in October of 2019 while out on a trip to the Los Angeles area. She actually DM'd Kobe and asked, you know, if they could work out together. And he said yes. And of course, he brought Gigi. And they built a relationship that ultimately was very short. But, you know, for AZ, it was poignant and it was hard in terms of experiencing that loss.
How did AZ process the loss of Gigi in particular? What went through her mind as that news was filtering in?
So AZ actually had a game that day, and she was already scheduled to sit out because of knee soreness. And one of her teammates, you know, was just on Twitter and stumbling through the news that there was a helicopter crash in Los Angeles and Kobe was on board and he may not be alive anymore. It was just like, wait, what? Like, what are you talking about? And at that point in time, it was not known who was on the helicopter with him. And AZ immediately thinks of Gigi and the things that she wants to say to her about losing her dad. You know, she wants to reach out to her and, you know, is thinking about the text she's going to send her after the game. And so she's sitting on the bench and just thinking of these things. And then at halftime, her dad tells her that Gigi also was on the helicopter and died.
She came over to me and told me that we were kind of hugging each other at a timeout. It's like, what do you say? And knowing that the budding relationship that she had going with him, and not only him, but with Gigi. What do you say?
And at that point, you know, AZ just really loses it. Just the overall tragedy of that moment and the sense of loss of a relationship that could have been, you know, just really hit her really hard.
You know, Katie, throughout your piece, you reference and detail this community of young women, of up-and-coming basketball stars, potentially, who are all kind of heading in the same direction. Paige Beckers, AZ, Gigi Bryant, all of whom, by the way, Gigi herself had sort of said that she wanted to go to UConn eventually. So how are these young up-and-comers, Nafisa Collier, Carly Rivera, these young women's players, how aware are they of each other and the trajectories they're all sharing?
The amazing thing about women's basketball, especially elite women's basketball, is the community that comes with it. So a lot of these players know each other. They've played against each other, and then they go to college, and then hopefully they go to the pros. But they're all kind of around each other, whether we're talking about Paige Beckers at UConn.
Beckers, you're kidding me.
Haley Van Lith, who's at Louisville.
That runner drops for the freshman, Haley Van Lith.
Fran Belevi, dunking sensation, who's at Stanford.
Fran Belevi, you better believe it, baby!
Haley Jones, who is also at Stanford.
Under control, man, what an explosive move from Haley Jones.
She is going to make you pay every time.
They all know each other and have played against each other and have relationships with one another and rivalries, which is also great. And so in that sense, I think they're all very aware of who one another is and the trajectory that they're all on together. And so in that sense, I think they're all very excited.
Okay, up next, AZ enters her final year of high school amid the pandemic.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So that momentum that you described, it does come to this halt that we're all familiar with in detail personally, in the loss of school and normalcy and for AZ basketball after the pandemic hits. What impact did all of that have on how she was developing?
You know, AZ's parents worked very hard to limit the disruption. And that ended up taking place in a lot of ways. The first is that the FUDs actually don't have a permanent basketball hoop, or at least didn't before quarantine, because their driveway is on an incline. Like, there just isn't really a place for that to happen. So they go out, they get a basketball hoop. They draw on, and it's like spray paint on lines, literally in the street. You know, AZ is sneaking into outdoor courts when she can. They go run on tracks. They acquire every piece of equipment that you could think of and put it in their basement so that she can do core stabilizing work.
Katie, this is the greatest prospect of women's basketball in decades. And so describe for me what her gym at home is like.
So in the basement, you know, there's like a hard floor and you go down there and there are boxes that she can use to step up. There are stabilizer balls. She dribbles down there, like she'll do ball handling with, you know, one basketball and a tennis ball. But then, you know, she will like strap like every ankle weight they have in her house and climb up on top of her dresser to do leg extensions. That's what they did in terms of piecing together a home gym that could function for, you know, one of the best basketball players in the country.
You know, in the Rocky montage, there usually isn't a childhood dresser that you're doing like leg extensions on top of, but you do need a training partner in any good montage.
Well, that would be none other than Paige Beckers herself, who road trips down from Minnesota and spends a total of like 7 weeks over a couple of stays with the FUDs.
I kind of knew the FUDs, I mean, they're going to find a way. When there's a will, there's a way. So I just wanted to get out there. I mean, they got to work out a lot, and I wanted to be a part of that, just getting ready for college.
She knew that she was going to go to UConn in a matter of months, and she needed to be ready and prepared. And there's no place to do that than basically running 3-a-days at the FUDs makeshift camp in Northern Virginia. And that's what they did day in and day out for weeks on end.
So these two future stars, they spend months pushing each other, training each other, getting better. Paige then heads to UConn, as we know, to be a star freshman. But in November, AZ returns the favor by committing to UConn herself.
I will be attending the University of Connecticut.
Paige was relentlessly recruiting her, like, from the jump.
I was really excited, a little bit emotional, just because I worked really hard for her to come out here, and I just know how fun it's going to be, and if we work hard and we just, yeah, keep working.
They have a really fun relationship. They love to talk trash with one another. They like to push each other. They're relentlessly competitive, especially with each other.
I love competing with her. So as much as I love playing with her, I would also love to beat her.
And speaking to like the viral sensation-esque nature of all of this, we do see this relationship, Katie, like all over Instagram and TikTok and social media.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, there are many videos of them dancing, of them dyeing their hair.
Hey guys, welcome back. Paige and AZ show.
Is it really gonna be purple?
Yeah, purple through, look.
Oh my god!
Today we are dyeing our hair purple.
They give AZ's brothers quarantine haircuts.
Welcome back to the Paige and AZ show.
Today we're giving quarantine cuts. All right, I've never done this before.
They do 20 questions. You know, they're very much, you know, two really good friends making the best of a pretty rough situation.
So the Paige and AZ show, as they dubbed it on various internet platforms, that becomes like the future of the foremost dynasty in the history of women's college basketball, because they're going to be playing together at UConn for Gino Auriemma next year. And Paige right now is setting records. She is the probable freshman of the year. What's it going to be like for them to share the ball and also share a court together?
I think it's going to be really exciting. Given, you know, how much time they spent training together and how close they are in terms of their friendship, they know a lot about one another's skill sets when it comes to basketball. And I think we're going to really get to see that play out next year. And it could be devastating for anyone who plays against them.
So is Paige Beckers, now one of the greatest freshmen in UConn history, is she possibly ready to be the second best player on her own team if the promise of AZ Fudd is as you've described and reported it?
I think Paige is going to do everything in her power to make sure that she is not the second best on her own team. And even if she is, she'll never admit it. But that's the best thing about the two of them is, you know, they'll play against one another and they immediately talk trash through me to each other.
Hold on. How does Paige and how does AZ talk trash through you?
Oh, it's my favorite thing that they do. So I'll be talking to Paige and I'll ask her, you know, oh, so how did this one-on-one game go? And she'll go, oh, I won. And if AZ said anything different, she's lying. And I'll talk to AZ about it. And even when AZ will, you know, concede that maybe Paige is right, you know, she said, like, yeah, okay, fine. Paige did beat me in quarantine, but I was a different player then. It'd be more competitive now. And she calls me back later and unprompted is like, okay, I've been too nice to Paige. I want you to know that after she missed a shot against South Carolina, my brother started calling her Paige Brickers. So there it is.
You had mentioned, Katie, that part of AZ's dream for herself was to do the things that her mother never got to do in basketball. Does AZ feel like she's done that already because she's accomplished so much?
Maybe on one hand, yes. But I think when AZ says that, she means her professional career. She means winning a WNBA championship, winning an NCAA championship, maybe even, and being an Olympian. AZ herself is named after an Olympian, Jennifer AZ. And, you know, that was something that her mom dreamed of that she wasn't able to do. Those dreams feel less like lofty dreams and more like tangible goals. And I know that's what she was thinking of when she made her college decision. I think that's what's going to drive her as she becomes a UConn Husky next season, is that she has it. She knows that she has it within herself to accomplish what she has dreamed about since she was a kid.
Katie Barnes, thank you so much for joining us on ESPN Daily.
Thanks for having me, Pablo.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.